hours. We got a little bit sidetracked there. But thanks to Chris Myers for joining us. Again, it's a Fox game, the Dolphins, this Sunday. It's the Jarvis Landry revenge game. If the game were here, would Jarvis Landry get cheered?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know.
Do people care enough about Jarvis Landry here?
I think so.
You think he'd get booed? I mean, I don't think he'd get booed.
I don't know.
He might get a golf clap.
We were talking about this earlier in the show where, you know, TNT, NBA TNT tonight, you got Bucks and Blazers. I'm interested in watching it. I'll watch a little bit of Hassan Whiteside. I haven't seen much of game action of him with this new club, so I'm interested in watching it. Also Carmelo, so, the game's got some juice to it. And it's a TNT broadcast, and of course, yesterday TNT released a statement. TNT PR released a statement on behalf of Charles Barkley apologizing for comments that he made off the record. A reporter stabbed him in the back, okay, and decided to, you know, say the things off the record that Barkley said. And, I mean, good luck with your career the rest of the way.
Well, she felt like that apparently that silence perpetuates misogyny, and so even when it's off the record, if it rises to that level of something that she found so misogynistic, that it should still be revealed.
So Barkley released a statement yesterday through TNT's PR, and although, you know, as Amber also mentioned earlier, we have since realized that this woman is kind of full of crap, okay, because she's been super offensive on Twitter to Asians, really insulting stuff.
I mean, it doesn't excuse Charles Barkley's actions. One has nothing to do with the other, but certainly cancel culture got a hold of her, and it seems like she also has been very insensitive with some of her comments.
Wouldn't it be amazing if she's the one who got fired over this? I mean, it's totally possible.
I mean,
right?
That it would be amazing.
It's possible.
It's possible.
So I wonder, though, if Barkley will say anything tonight. I would say, though, that because of this latest development that you mentioned, I do not believe Barkley will mention this at all tonight. If this latest development never happened, maybe he would say something.
You might be right. I think Barkley would keep it real, though. Even if he did mention it, he'd say, hey, I shouldn't have said that to that woman. You know, like, all right, I shouldn't have said to a woman that I wanted to punch her in the face.
I'm surprised he apologized in the first place, to be honest with you.
You know, you were so surprised. I heard other people in sports media talk about how they were also surprised because it's Charles Barkley and he's gotten away with these things for so long, and he also comes across like a dude who won't apologize.
Like, it's funny, he never apologized for the things he says for everyone to hear on television, but the one thing that he says when nobody hears, right, he apologized for.
But it's 2019, so that's part of the difference. I mean, he has said very offensive things in the past, and certainly in his career, but there's a different temperature around things in 2019. So he came out, and maybe TNT made him, who knows, but he came out and he did apologize through a TNT statement and just said, hey, I said it, I shouldn't have said it. I mean, really, that's all you can ask for in those situations. Like, I don't have a huge problem with that. Now, she doubled down on it when they came out with a statement, and then she came out again, you know, yeah, it shouldn't have been said, and blah 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 blah, and double down on it. And I'm never here for that, because I feel like you've got to let people change and you've got to let people learn from their mistakes. One of the things that I hate so much with cancel culture is that we don't allow people to change, and then what the hell's the point? So if you're going to say, hey, that dude said something misogynistic, or that dude said something sexist, or that person said something racist, then, or, you know, anti-Semitic or whatever, if you don't allow that person to understand what they did wrong and take it in and then apologize and change for it, then what the hell are you accomplishing? Like, what is the ultimate goal in this world? And I think the ultimate goal in this world is to have more progress and more equality, and us all have a better understanding of each other, and us all have much more respect for each other and understand what offends people and why it offends them, and just have a better understanding of each other. And with cancel culture, I'm not sure we get that,
because
all we do is we reprimand people and then we just want them gone. So we just don't give anybody an opportunity to learn from anything. And all that does is harbor anger and resentment and then perpetuates those problems.
Let's do some headlines here.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Thursday night football. We have a good Thursday night game tonight. The Colts, they're at the Texans tonight. The winner of that one will take the lead for the division. Of course, the Dolphins, they have the Texans' first round pick, so that's something to watch for here with the Texans' record.
I'm going to be rolling with Texans tonight, -3.5. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, Houston is a 3.5-point favorite.
That's the play.
Sazler feels very good about the Texans.
I just can't go with the road team. Short week, Thursday night.
I think
Brissett's
back, right? He's playing for the Colts, isn't he?
Yeah, he was back last week, I think.
I think he was. I believe you're right.
Last week.
The idea is, though, you know, is T.Y. Hilton playing? And that's, I know it's questionable going, maybe, you know, we'll find out soon. But T.Y. Hilton's been a question mark. He's missed the last few weeks, so that's out there. I know Marlon Mack is an injury situation also. So that's a banged-up Colts team. The Texans desperately need a win, especially coming off of last week where Lamar Jackson killed them. I think we're at the point of the season where it's difficult to expect much of the road team on Thursday night.
Wean Chen, he is no longer a Miami Marlin.
Oh, thank
he has
God.
Been designated for assignment.
Thank
the move
God.
Comes at the 40-man roster deadline. Of course, Chen was cut to make room for good players because he ain't one. Although he's still going to make $22 million next year, the Marlins are going to pay him.
I saw he
just
sent
to go
out.
Away.
I saw he sent out a thank you on Twitter. Is he Japanese? Chinese?
Wasn't he
Japanese.
Korean?
Yeah, maybe you could be right. And he sent out a tweet, you know, in his native language. Okay, so obviously we don't understand it, and it was something to the effect of. You know,
Taiwanese.
Okay. And it was something to the effect of, you know, I want to thank the Marlins and I'm looking forward to my next challenge. I'll tell you, I mean, next challenge is stay at home dad. Like, next challenge. I mean, there is no more baseball for Wei Yin Chen.
Listen, I got to tell you, like, we can all hate on Wei Yin Chen, but I'd love somebody to pay me $22 million to go away, like, from anything. Like, if Entercom wants to give me $22 million to go away, like, I'll consider that a big win in my book.
He was such a bum for the Marlins. He was such a bum. And you know what? Like, it was such an awful job by the Marlins at the time. David Sampson, Jeffrey Loria, what have you. Because it was a year that the Marlins were like, okay, we're going to spend money this offseason. And no one was willing to take their money. Except in the end, Wei Yin Chen was willing to take their money. So they're like, okay, well, we said we're going to spend money this offseason. So instead of, you know, deciding, okay, let's push it back to next offseason. No. We decided we're going to spend money this season, so let's just give it to whoever's willing to take it. And Wei Yin Chen was willing to take it. It's such poor management, the Marlins. What they should have done, obviously, was, okay, like, the guys we wanted to give this money to, they didn't want it, so let's defer to next year. Or we could just give it all to the only guy that wants it, and that was Wei Yin Chen. For me, and I really find it hard to dispute this, Wei Yin Chen was the worst free agent signing in the history of South Florida sports, because you have to consider the amount of money. Like, people want to give Heath Bell. No, like, not even close. Heath Bell, it was $27 million. Like, it's nothing. They were paying him, it was 3 years, $27 million. It was $9 million a season. It's nothing. That's why they were able to get rid of him after, I think, the second year. Maybe it was the first year even. But That's a nothing contract. Wei Yin Chen, they're paying $22 million just to go away. Heath Bell made barely more than that the entire length of the contract. It's the worst free agent signing in the history of South Florida sports. And don't give me Hassan Whiteside, okay?
That's not even close.
Like, Wei Yin Chen is $86 million. Whiteside, was, I think, was $90. Like, Whiteside had many a good day for the Miami Heat. So don't give me Hassan Whiteside, because that's just garbage, okay? Wei Yin Chen had zero success in his time here with the Marlins. I mean, there is no... And, you know, when it comes to football, look, you sign a guy to a big contract and get rid of him. Wipe our hands clean. It's not that big a deal. So the Dolphins haven't had someone that you can, you know, say is the equivalent. And with hockey, I mean, hell, the money is not extravagant unless it's for a superstar player. So I don't know what the example would be for the Panthers, although maybe you're saying Bobrovsky's on his way. I don't know. But hopefully that's not the case. But, yeah, Wei Yin Chen is the worst free agent signing in the history of South Florida sports. I'm sorry, I don't find it disputable. I really don't.
Miami Hurricanes, their basketball team right now, their men's basketball team, I should say, is taking on the Missouri State Bears. About 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes
Most
left
State.
In the second half. The Canes lead Missouri 66-60 now. Sorry, my computer is behind. I'm looking at the television now. It is 66-60. That means Mo State is making a little bit of a comeback run
Mo
there.
Mo State.
Looks like UM has been in control most of this game. The Gators, they take on St. Joseph's at 2 p.m. today. If both the Gators and Canes win or both the Gators and Canes lose, they will match up against one another tomorrow. So that would be a fun little matchup. The Panthers are back in action tonight. They are at home versus Anaheim Ducks, 7 p.m. BB&T Center, Zaslo.
They're in a stretch right now where, like, all of their games are at home. They're in the middle of a stretch of 14 out of 16 at BB&T Center. This is a Ducks team that's under 500. They're just under 500. So, look, you know, let's go out there, get 2 points, keep this thing moving. Panthers right now, or at least as I checked yesterday, I don't know who played last night, but the Panthers, I believe, are second in their division, which, and, you know, top three make the post. Never too early to look at the wild card standings and all of that. Top three in each division.
I mean, the preseason might be too early for that.
Top three in each division make the postseason.
The offseason seems really too early.
And the Panthers right now second in the Atlantic Division. Okay, tied for second, actually. Montreal, although Montreal has played an extra game than the Panthers. Panthers are just four points out of first place in the Atlantic Division. How you load up?
First few games of the season seems too early for that.
Oh, right now, Panthers are rolling. Let's go. Keep it going.
And, of course, Duncan Robinson, he was your boy last night. He put up 29 points in that Heat win over the Cavs. The Heat won 124-100. Duncan, he was 9 for 15 from 3. Didn't shoot any two-pointers last night. Didn't need to. Tyler Hero, he had 22 off the bench last night. Jimmy, he couldn't miss a free throw last night. That's a tongue twister. 13 for 13. In free throws. He put up 21 points last night. The Heat, they start a back-to-back road trip. Tomorrow night, they're at Chicago. Saturday, they are at Philadelphia. And those, Zaslo, are your headlines.
If you missed it, Luka Doncic had a 35-point triple-double. He did it in just 25 minutes. It's an NBA record.
It's the shortest time in NBA history for a 30-point triple-double.
Amazing. He is...
He's the best.
He's not the best.
He's close to the best.
Now, he was a draft day trade. I don't think the Hawks are kicking themselves for trading him because they got Trae Young in the trade.
Listen, Trae Young's very happy with him. He's very good, but Luka seems like he's going to be a perennial all-star here. Like, he's really something. Like, he's really special, Zaz.
Yeah, I don't think they're kicking themselves. You know, Trae Young is a really good player. You know, if you're asking me, hey, who would I rather have, Trae Young or Luka Doncic? It's easy. I want Luka Doncic.
That's my point.
But, you know, it's...
I mean, I'll take either of them, but I would take Luka over Trae. And I mean... So would everyone at this
like,
point.
Like, Trae Young...
That's not even an insult to Trae Young. It's just that Luka Doncic... He's that good.
They're not kicking themselves. Trae Young averages 27 points and 9 rebounds a game. Like, he's really, really good, okay? So,
again... They know how to play some basketball over in Slovenia.
You know, all things are equal. I want Doncic. There's only a few players in the entire league, probably, maybe 5-6 players in the entire league that I would take over him. If we're talking about building a franchise, then maybe there's only 3 or 4 guys ahead of him because you got to put age into consideration.
Well, right now, we did it earlier in the show. We said who the best players in the NBA right now currently on the court, and we took KD and Steph Curry out of the equation since they're not playing the rest of the season, and you had Luka sitting at 5th in the NBA. Right now, currently, he's a top 5 player in the NBA.
But if we're talking about building
for the
future...
Man's 20 years old, right?
But if we're talking about like building a franchise, we're taking him over LeBron, okay? Because he's 16, 17 years younger? Yeah, something like that, you know? So
yeah, 16 years younger, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is LeBron 36? Or is he 35? Maybe LeBron's 35.
So,
either way.
He's turning 35 in December.
All right.
So we're talking about 16 years younger. So you're taking Doncic over LeBron, okay, moving forward. Yeah, he's top 3 or 4 in the league if we're building a franchise. He is amazing. And I'm telling you, the Heat are so lucky. I can't believe the Mavericks didn't want Goran Dragic. I mean, how great would that be? Because you know Dallas, Cuban, he loves the European players. He loves his Euro guys.
It seems like he's right. He's right about this one. He's very right.
They trade for Porzingis, and he's having a nice little start to the season.
Man, Slovenia would just the entire country of Slovenia would be Mavs fans. I mean, which they already support Luka like crazy and Goran, but can you imagine both those guys on the same team?
Well, and
Slovenian madness.
Well, and last year, you know, people, I don't know if they forget.
Remember that game?
Yeah, that game that
Dallas
was here. You know, it was... I'd never seen anything like it. They were all, you had all these Slovenian, hooligans who were here in town to watch Luka Doncic and their hero, Goran Dragic, and none of them were leaving after the game. There was still a couple thousand people who had all moved down into the lower bowl, and were singing and chanting.
And
we're
jumping,
talking,
right?
We're talking 30 minutes after the game ended.
They were doing like the soccer thing, like what everybody does at soccer games
and,
over there.
And like, there's no way they were leaving until both Goran Dragic and Luka Doncic came out and addressed the crowd. Like, Goran had to come out 30, 40 minutes after the game with microphone in hand. And sing with them and chant with them and dance around with them, take a little bit of pictures and that whole deal. And then finally, folks started to leave. It was an amazing scene. It really was. Anyway, which is a more impressive feat? Duncan Robinson hitting 9 threes last night, 8 of which in the first half, 7 of which in the second quarter. Duncan Robinson's 9 three-pointers last night or Ben Simmons' first ever three-pointer?
Ugh. The way people are reacting to Ben Simmons' first ever three-pointer, it's like he's a child.
Which is more impressive?
Okay, I almost find it embarrassing how people are reacting to his first three-pointer in the NBA.
Duncan Robinson hitting 7 threes in a matter of 5 minutes, by the way. It was 5 minutes. 5 minutes of game time, he had 7 threes. Duncan Robinson hitting 7 threes in 5 minutes of game time, or Ben Simmons hitting his first ever. Which is more impressive? Because I'll tell you something, I am leaning towards Simmons.
Stop. Mm-hmm. Zazzle, get out of my life.
Mm-hmm. I lean toward Simmons.
The hell are you talking about?
Well, for two
reasons. He did it a time.
Number one.
Congratulations, I'll throw you a party. He did it a time.
Number one, he's a terrible shooter, and he's afraid to shoot.
Correct, we know that.
So making one, I think, is more impressive.
Even a broken clock is wrong twice a day, Zazz.
It was his 18th attempt in his three-year career. So on average,
now is that a real 3 year career, or is that the
yeah.
or is that the
third
we
season.
Sit on the bench for a year?
No,
and
this
we
is third
still
season.
Or win rookie of the year the next season, even though we're not a rookie because really we're actually in our sophomore season with the NBA.
No, this is third season.
Ben Simmons, I don't like Ben Simmons.
Look, we know Duncan Robinson's a great 3-point shooter. Okay, Ben Simmons making one is more impressive. It is.
It's not.
Last night was his first 3-point attempt of the season. So he's also 100%. I mean, it's remarkable.
No, wait, what?
It's remarkable.
Wait, last night was his first attempt of the season, but
yep.
He's tried 18 times in his career.
Yeah.
So you're saying he's one for one this season, 100% yeah. This season.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 100%.
No, we're not doing that to Ben Simmons. We can do that to Udonis Haslam when he's like, one for one and he's 100%. We're not doing that to Ben Simmons.
It's more impressive. Duncan Robinson's 9 threes. Or Ben Simmons won? I think Ben Simmons won.
You are out of your mind.
Big deal or not a big deal? Zazz on Amber, next.
Biggie. This goes out. Biggie. This goes out.
All right, so how about this? Are you watching any shows on TV? We'll get to big deal, not a big deal in a moment here. Are you watching any shows these
days?
Oh,
man, the Crown just came back out.
What is that?
The Crown?
Yeah.
It was that show about the royal family, about Queen Elizabeth.
It's not reality, though.
No, it's not. It's fictional, but it's all based in reality. Like, it is very historically accurate, and it is incredible. That first season, I mean, if you are a person who's interested, I'm a history buff, and I love royal history. And if you're a person who's interested in that stuff at all, it is a spectacular show. At least season one was. Now, season one was like 2 years ago. I've been waiting for season two to come out. And it's taken them years because what they did with The Crown is now for season two, they're having an entirely new cast because they're having the characters age. So whereas in season one, Queen Elizabeth, it chronicles her taking the crown, like taking the throne, becoming queen, getting married, all of that stuff. And so she's in her 20s and 30s in the first one. Now they want her more like in her 50s, in her late 40s, 50s type thing. So they decided they needed to use...
Is it based on real characters or is it all fictional?
No, it's not fictional at all. It's all based on, the queen and her husband and her sister and her parents.
Okay, so
everything that actually happened. Like, there's Winston Churchill is played by somebody. That's, it's very accurate.
Okay, so it's based on real people.
It's all very, yes, very much based on real people and real events.
It's Netflix.
It's, is it Amazon or Netflix? Netflix, maybe.
Okay.
And it's an incredible show. But what's a little strange about it is so season one's spectacular. And then now you have to mentally adjust with this new season of The Crown where everyone's going to be a different actor playing the same character because they want that actor to be older. And so instead of doing the makeup, you know, like they did in This Is Us,
right.
they decided to actually use a different actor that still sort of resembles the first actor, but not really, you know. And
I see
and
Claire Foy plays Queen Elizabeth. She was also a girl with the dragon tattoo, the most recent one, you know, that came out.
Is she the one playing her now? I'm not familiar with the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah, she was girl with the dragon tattoo. She was the most recent girl with the dragon tattoo, which I never saw because the previews made it look like she's now James Bond.
That's not the character. Claire Foy was the actress who played Queen Elizabeth in the first season.
Okay.
Where because she was playing her in her 20s and her 30s, and Claire Foy is in her 20s and her 30s. Now Queen Elizabeth
is played by...
It looks like it's played by
someone called Olivia Colman.
That may be true. I'm trying to look it up. Olivia Colman, let me
see.
And
this is a good show? You dig this show?
So here's the thing is I haven't gotten to start watching... Yeah, Olivia Colman. Yes, exactly. And she's 45. So now she is playing...
There's some good-looking broads in this show.
Queen Elizabeth... I mean, listen, they don't make them, it's true to, like, do you think Queen Elizabeth is a particularly good looking woman?
Like the one was like in her 90s?
Back in the day, maybe.
I'm talking about back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about whether you think she's got it going on right now. Although, listen, right now she's looking kind of rough. I think we learned yesterday Zazzle's got like a little thing for Betty White. He was a little taken aback.
Absolutely not.
I mean, the way that your voice went when I told you Betty White was 98 years old, you were a little.
Well, I couldn't believe she was 98, but I mean, it doesn't mean that like I'm interested in Betty White.
Listen, you said she looks good.
No, I don't like Golden Girls at all. Matter of fact, I don't care what anyone thinks about this. I hated Golden Girls.
How do you hate Golden Girls?
I don't care.
That's an amazing show, by the way.
So you're a B. Arthur fan, I see. Okay.
First of all, Golden Girls.
I don't even think you can be from Miami and hate Golden Girls. It takes place in Miami.
I don't care.
What's wrong with you?
The Crown follows the political rivalries and romance of Queen Elizabeth II's reign and the events that shaped the second half of the 20th century. Okay.
It's really, really interesting and really good. Like I said, I don't know about this new season because I'm about to start it. I tried to start it last night and it didn't go so well. I got distracted. And then the Heat game came on. But I am about to start it, and I'm nervous because once you really like a show, like, can you imagine you really, really, really like a show and you think it's absolutely spectacular and the actors are playing the characters just so spectacularly and then all of a sudden they just switch all the actors on you?
No, I've never experienced that at all.
Exactly, because I'm not sure it's ever a thing, and now it's a thing with The Crown, so we'll see how it goes.
So I started watching the other day. I watched the first episode. I got this Disney Plus bundle, okay? So along with Disney Plus, I have ESPN Plus, which I had already, but now I got a part of the bundle, and I also have Hulu, okay? Now I got my own Hulu account. I don't have to steal Zach Duarte's Hulu account anymore. And so I've been wanting to watch this show. It's exclusive to Hulu, and I gave it a try finally the other day, The Handmaid's Tale. Okay, you know about that, right? Elizabeth Moss.
I do.
Which apparently, you know,
I've meant to check that out, actually.
I've been told, you know, that it's really heavy, okay? It's really intense and also pretty depressing. And
oh, then I'm out.
But I know what the story's about and it wins all the awards every year, you know?
Right, of course.
So I wanted to check it out and I watched the first episode the other day and that show is heavy and it's also really good. So I think I'm in on that show. I think I'm going to introduce my wife to it. That may be a new show for the two of us to watch together. But it's heavy, that Handmaid's Tale. Like, I don't know how popular it is because, again, it's Hulu and it's really intense and I think also probably depressing.
The series is set in Gilead, a totalitarian society ruled by a fundamentalist regime that treats women as property of the state.
Yeah, in this, like, it's not too futuristic, but in this futuristic society, like, some kind of plague out there has made most of the women infertile.
Yeah, this looks great. In a desperate attempt to repopulate a devastated world, the few remaining fertile women are forced into sexual servitude.
They kidnap them, and they turn them into these handmaids, okay? They take their children away, and they have to...
That sounds excellent.
They have to serve as... They have to help... They have to help, like, the people who are in charge of this new society have to help them breed, okay? And, yeah, it's something. All right, let's play our game. Let's do Big Deal, Not a Big Deal. Come on now, let's do it. That's a good lead-in right there. Handmaid's Tale always leads into Big Deal, Not a Big Deal.
You gotta be careful, because NFL Network, they're stealing our segments. They stole this one today. Zazzle tweeted out a picture. NFL Network today on Good Morning Football was doing a segment called Big Deal, No Big Deal. So not to be confused with their segment that they clearly stole from us, this is Big Deal, Not a Big Deal. A porn site is offering families $250 to live stream their Thanksgiving. Big deal or not a big deal?
Okay, but what? Okay, so hold on a second. A porn site, do you want to name which one?
Cam Soda.
I don't know what that is. Porn site is offering families money to live stream their Thanksgiving. So is it under the... They have to also agree to then have sex during Thanksgiving?
There's no rules other than the participants all need to be 18 or over. It doesn't appear that nudity is any sort of requirement. They just want you to live stream you getting stuffed on your turkey, and they want viewers to watch.
Are we using the term stuffed properly here?
I believe we are.
All right.
That wasn't a sexual innuendo.
I got to go not a big deal then. I don't understand what the point is then. I don't care about watching anyone eat. That seems really stupid to me. So I'm going not a big deal.
Maybe it's a weird fetish thing.
I don't understand it. Well, I don't have the watch people eat fetish.
Blink 182 recorded a new Christmas song, according to Travis Barker. Big deal or not a big deal?
Not a big deal. I don't care about Blink 182. I didn't even care about them that much back when they were popular. They got a couple of good songs, whatever, but eventually there's only so many power chords I care about, so not a big deal.
A Nigerian scammer pulled off a $1 million heist, Zaslow, from a maximum security prison in Nigeria.
Well, I'm going big deal. I mean, that sounds like something that's well thought out, well planned, and he pulled it off.
An investigation found out that he still had access to the internet, like you think, and he managed to make $1 million from a max security prison.
I think I'm going big deal. I mean, good for him. He's doing something with his time. All right.
Police used stun guns to extract a Florida man from a Walmart ceiling. Big deal or not a big deal?
Not a big deal. Look, if you do a crime, then you're going to be punished. Don't do crime. You know, I know you can come back and say, oh, but does the punishment fit the crime? Just don't do the crime. Don't do the crime, and you don't have to worry about the punishment fitting the crime.
Wu-Tang Clan is getting an amusement park in South Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Zaz, big deal or not a big deal?
That's a big deal. On every ride, I want Wu-Tang songs. Cream, Get the Money, Dollar Dollar Bill, y'all. Yes, I like it. Let's play Wu-Tang on the roller coasters.
A North Carolina sheriff gun instructor, he accidentally shot himself. Big deal or not a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal. He's dead.
Well, I don't think he's dead. I think he lived, but he accidentally shot himself, which seems like maybe something you shouldn't do if you're a gun instructor, right?
Oh.
Like, you should be able to not shoot yourself, probably.
Well, if he's not dead, if he didn't dead himself, then I'm going not a big deal, okay? And you got to remove him. We found out he's not fit for the job. Peace out. So not a big deal.
Study shows that 39% of Americans still choose to travel while sick. Big deal or not a big deal?
I gotta go not a big deal because you gotta get to where you gotta get sometimes, you know? I've traveled while diseased. I've told you I traveled on a steel tube, okay, with chicken pox.
Also known as a plane, which is absolutely insane that you did that, and you should be banished from not just this country, but all countries. Because I believe you were coming back from Canada when you did that.
Yep, I was coming back from Montreal. I'm not proud of it.
You should never be allowed to travel again. I got to tell you, I think this is an extremely big deal, and the reason that I do now, in particular, is because when I was pregnant, I was 6 months pregnant, and I sat next to a guy on a plane who was coughing the whole time. And I thought, is this really sick sitting next to me? And I'm super pregnant, doesn't say anything to me, doesn't cover his mouth the whole time. I get the flu.
Well, not covering your mouth. I mean, come
unbelievable.
On.
Doesn't cover his mouth. I'm like texting my fiance, like, this mug isn't covering his mouth. And I mean, just so rude. I'm very clearly pregnant. So he clearly knows he's sitting next to a pregnant woman. And I get the flu. And having the flu pregnant is maybe the worst thing ever. And because you can't take the medicine. And it's absolutely awful. I was bedridden for 14 days. And that was during a time that my mother was ailing. And that was in the last couple months of her life. And that really cost me significant time because I was up in Atlanta to visit her, which is where she was at the time receiving treatment. And I couldn't be around my mom for like 2 weeks. And that ended up being some of the last couple weeks of her life. So that guy, I would love to find, like, I wish there was a way to find out the name of people sitting next to you on planes, because I would love to write that mug and let him know about himself. So anyways, next time you guys think about traveling with the flu, just keep that in mind. Maybe at least just don't sit next to the pregnant lady.
Well, despite
kid.
Your sob story, I'm still going not a big deal.
So, Amber, you want me to bring some of my peoples out there?
Yeah, seriously, listen. We need to do a thing or two about a thing or two. The Black Keys, they confirmed a 2020 tour that ends their feud with Jack White. Big deal or not a big deal?
I don't understand. The Black Keys is on tour right now, and Jack White is not in the Black Keys, so I don't understand.
I don't either, but apparently that there is talk about ending the feud with Jack White. Does that mean he would be joining their U.S. tour?
The Black Keys
are currently in the middle of their first tour in 4 years. The duo plans to keep the good times rolling next year. In an interview with Rolling Stone, Patrick Carney confirmed, and then they asked about this long-running feud with Jack White, and he said, and they confirmed that they've hung out with him a few times over, and that it was a misunderstanding. So maybe there's
All right, so these are two different stories.
So I guess apparently there's two different stories. I don't know bleep about the Black Keys, if you couldn't tell, or about Jack White.
You just morphed two of the different bands
no
into
idea
one.
Jack White wasn't.
All right,
Black
I'm going. Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
My genre, man. I don't know anything about this stuff.
All right.
All right, and finally, an online cannabis magazine is paying $3,000 a month for a marijuana reviewer. Big deal. Or not a big deal. That's it,
what
man.
What about the benefits?
Really?
It's three stacks. I don't need no benefits.
I can tell you about the benefits. There are benefits.
I don't
think it's a 401k, though.
That sounds like a big deal. Dig it.
And those, that's big deal, not a big deal. So there is some breaking news that's hitting all the platforms right now. They're talking about it right now on ESPN. It popped up on my phone.
No.
So Myles Garrett, of course, he officially filed his appeal yesterday, which we expected because he had received that indefinite suspension, which, as I understand it, is not proper or allowed under the CBA. So he was going to, of course, appeal it, and I suspected he'd get the, you know, six games then. There's the rest of the season either way. Anyway, you cut it. But that indefinite language would signal the appeal. Regardless, he, in filing that appeal, apparently alleges that Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur and that that's why he reacted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Myles
Mason
Garrett-
Rudolph has come out and vehemently denied the report.
Yeah, I think Myles Garrett's going to come out looking pretty bad.
Well, is he, or do you owe Jacina Anderson an apology?
Oh, I definitely don't know Jacina Anderson.
Because you don't
apology.
Like yourself some Jacina Anderson. And Jacina Anderson came out immediately after that altercation and said, essentially implied very strongly that Mason Rudolph had called Myles Garrett the N-word, is what I think she was implying. And you were railing against Jacina Anderson. Like, how would she know? And I wonder, I mean, is it possible that she spoke to Myles Garrett?
What, while he was still on the field?
Well,
she tweeted immediately after the whole thing happened.
Wasn't it after the game, or was it just after the incident?
I mean, well, here's the thing.
Because,
okay.
I mean, Myles Garrett, does he have time to speak to Jacina after he's ejected from the game?
Well, number one,
why
would she delete it then? If it was an actual report, meaning someone told her that
Maybe it was a little off the record. Like, maybe she had a conversation, like, maybe she had a tip.
No, it was her thought, which is why she then eventually deleted it. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to do that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he didn't want it on the record at the time.
And the second thing would be, why didn't she report it before Myles Garrett had told this himself? Okay, so I apologize, Jacina Anderson. I mean, you stop talking about which players are showering with the gay players. I mean, she's embarrassing. No, I'm not apologizing in any fashion to Jacina Anderson. She's embarrassing as a reporter. But this is, I mean, look, Rudolph is strongly denying the allegation, as you would expect. And do you want to read the statement from Mason Rudolph's attorney? Which my guess is this has been pretty planned for a while
now. Is it his attorney, or I have a statement from a Steelers spokesman?
Well, there's both.
Okay, so the statement I have in front of me, Mason vehemently denies the report of being accused of using a racial slur during the incident Thursday night in Cleveland. Steelers spokesman Bert Lawton said in a statement he will not discuss this accusation any further, and his focus remains on preparation for Sunday's game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also a statement from Mason Rudolph's attorney.
Yeah, I mean, they probably had an idea that this was coming, but also they would have heard about it when that appeal was filed.
And the attorney puts out, according to ESPN, in his appeal, Myles Garrett falsely asserted that Mason Rudolph uttered a racial slur toward him prior to swinging a helmet at Mason's uncovered head in a desperate attempt to mitigate his suspension. This is a lie. This false allegation was never asserted by Garrett in the aftermath of the game, never suggested prior to the hearing, and conspicuously absent in the apology published by the Browns and adopted by Garrett. The malicious use of this wild and unfounded allegation is an assault on Mason's integrity, which is far worse than the physical assault witnessed on Thursday. This is reckless and shameful. We will have no further comment.
That denial to me is like hot sex. It's so clearly written by an attorney.
So,
like, I
there
love
you
how
go.
That was worded.
That's where this story
so much
is
better
right
than
now.
The spokesperson for the Steelers. No offense, brah.
I mean, it's worded like he may wind up suing him.
Well, I mean,
for slander,
it's
right?
a bold accusation. It's certainly a bold accusation to say that. The problem is that you know, you wouldn't like, how do you prove it's not true? Says, like, truth is the, you know, is the ultimate defense to that sort of thing. And
right.
how do you prove it's not true?
I mean, look, who the hell? I don't know what was said on the field. I have no
right.
idea.
Well, that's the problem.
I have no idea.
Like, Mason Rudolph would have to prove that it wasn't said.
Well, but you can say the same thing about Garrett, that he would have to prove that it was said so they could lighten the suspension. It's the same thing. I mean, I don't know what's going to come of it.
I was talking about in terms of a court. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the NFL, I mean, is there even, Mason Rudolph appears to not be very punished by the, I mean, already a lot of people feel like he should have already received a suspension for his involvement in the altercation.
Oh, he's not going to be suspended. He'll be fined, but he's not going to be suspended.
Right.
Look, my guess for me, okay, if I was in this situation and I reacted poorly to being called, you know, a racial name or an anti-Semitic name or what have you, I would immediately say, this is why I did this. I mean, I'd be screaming it from the rooftops, you know, that I did this bad thing because I won't stand for this kind of disrespect of my people. I would have said it right away. I wouldn't have waited, you know, a week to then say it in a quiet room.
I don't know.
Room.
That feels a bit like what we do to women when women come out and say that they were sexually assaulted or that they were battered. It feels a little bit like what we do to women there where, oh, like, you didn't call the cops right away, so it couldn't have possibly happened. Or you didn't tell me it happened immediately, so it couldn't have possibly happened. And I'm always railing against that because I very well know that's not true from experiences that I've had in my own life, in my own personal life, and that other women I know who have been in very violent situations with men. Oftentimes, we don't talk about it immediately, and we don't call the cops, and there's a million reasons for that. So this feels a little bit like what we would be doing to Myles Garrett in this situation, like, oh, if he didn't say it right away. I understand the attorney said that the attorney is going to say whatever he can to vehemently deny this. And also because that plays into the public perception of this, because the public loves that. Like, that's a favorite thing. Oh, yeah. If you didn't say it right away, then it must have not happened. Going along with that same train of thought that you have.
But
I don't know if
that
really
given,
absolves
though,
him of it.
But the example you're given, though, isn't about a woman trying to defend herself. OK, the bad thing happened to the woman. In this case here, if Myles Garrett has a reason to defend himself, he should defend himself.
Well, are you defending your action that way, though? If you're Myles Garrett, I mean, is it defensible what you did? And the truth is no. Like, regardless of what Mason Rudolph said to you, you can't take your helmet and you can't take his helmet and beat him over the head with it. Like, that's not a
right,
defensible position.
Right, but he's using
position.
That defense now, though.
So he is in his appeal, but it's not like he used it in the court of public opinion, and those are two different things. So is it possible that in the court of public opinion, Myles Garrett takes responsibility? Like, hey, what I did was wrong, and I'm sorry to Mason, there's no excuse for it. But then in his appeal, he's like, hey, this is why this occurred, because maybe it does reduce the punishment.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I won't say that something occurred or didn't occur just because we don't hear about it immediately. There's a texter writing in, keep in mind there were multiple players on the field in the middle of that fight. I find it hard to believe that other black players would have heard Mason Rudolph use that racial slur and then go in and defend him. The only thing about that, because I've heard people say that as well, if Mason Rudolph said something like that, then why would Mike Pouncey come and, Marquise Pouncey, I can't, one of the Pouncey brothers, it was Marquise, right? Why would Marquise Pouncey come in and defend Mason Rudolph? Well, just because Pouncey comes in to the fight doesn't mean Pouncey would have heard that exchange. Like, that exchange could have happened when Myles Garrett was on top of Mason Rudolph.
Could have been early in the game.
No, or even initially with that contact, like that immediate tackle, it's just Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett. Like, it's very possible Mason Rudolph can say something to Myles Garrett that only Myles Garrett hears in that moment. And then the altercation ensues after that. It's very possible. And yeah, maybe the other players on the field wouldn't have heard that. They would have just seen their quarterback about to get his ass beat.
All right. Well, that's where we are with this story. I'm not.
There's no way to prove it or not prove it. I mean, that's the thing. You're gonna get the vehement denial from Mason Rudolph, and of course, this is the accusation from Myles Garrett. We're never gonna know what happened. It's a he said type of situation, Zaslo.
I'll tell you, you can be mad that Mason Rudolph didn't get suspended, but so far Mason Rudolph got clocked over the head with a helmet and has now been branded as a guy who uses racial slurs.
I gotta tell you, if he didn't say it, it is it's a really grotesque way to try to get your appeal lower. If in fact you're just blatantly lying about it. And that seems extreme, right? Doesn't that seem a bit extreme that you would just point a finger at Mason Rudolph and essentially call him a racist?
It's an easy thing to do.
Because he's white?
Well, yeah. It's an easy thing to do. And especially if you're in Myles Garrett's spot where you're like, I'm worried that my career is in jeopardy. Yeah, it's an easy thing to do.
Myles Garrett's career is not in jeopardy. Get out of town. Well, he's the sack leader in the NFL right now, right? Or wasn't he?
No, I understand, but if he feels like...
Career in jeopardy.
If he feels like that...
We have guys that beat the bleep out of their pregnant fiancés on the field, and Myles Garrett, who practically does a football move on somebody else with a helmet.
Did you see the 911 call ever again. Come on. Mark Walton was released?
I did not. I'm sorry, we don't have cough buttons yet. I mean, we actually physically have them sitting here, they're just not hooked up.
911 call of Mark Walton was released, and also there's video of him leaving, like, the, the jailhouse, okay?
I gotta tell you, I have very little interest in that. What's that sound like? I can't even imagine.
Well, the reason I'm bringing it up is because when he leaves, well, the 911 call sucks, as you would imagine.
Made by her?
Yeah. Ugh. And when he's leaving the courthouse, how do you feel about him skipping from the courthouse to his car?
Skipping after allegedly punching his pregnant girlfriend in the face.
Skipping the whole way through.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. He can skip his way right out of the NFL because that's a dude, Zaslo, who's never going to have an NFL career again. Not Myles Garrett. That dude.
There you go. All right. That's going to do it for today. You got anything else?
I don't.
All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow at 10. See ya.